I think that's all right, don't you? Let me just talk about this, because we were somehow attracted towards the young man, Kofi, and we were chatting, and I did what I did, and suddenly Lulu Bell, Emma, comes up, and I felt like there was harmony and team here. You think, is she taking the mic off me? I'll kick her leg. But that was the farthest sort away from me in the universe. But what, you know, we give way, and I think there's a lesson here that it's the body. There's not a lot of room for Lone Ranger independence. The prophetic people are a strange bunch. If you know me well, you understand. Stop it, you lot up there. But there's something about this that is so, to me, I am thrilled to bits. And what's it done? It's done something for Kofi and for those lovely people you're sat next to, including the old man, you know. And his mum. I think it's brilliant. Do you? I do, I really do. And we say amen to all the words that Emma gave and the few that I gave. It's going to happen. It is. Okay, that might happen later, mightn't it? Yeah. Is that all right? Yeah, he's happy about that. Did you hear what she had to say? She taught ballet, so she can relate to Kofi, and you can relate to him a lot better than most of us here, and you could see something too, and you want him to dance around you too. What, him? The old boy? Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll happen when we do the business later. Praise God for agendas, and praise God that they don't work sometimes. Here's what I do: I overplan, and if it happens, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And I pick a bit out, you know, as I'll do in a minute. I've got this prophetic word. Might as well do that now, shall I? This Latin two-word prophetic word. Now, some of you, half of you, know what it is, I reckon. Oh. I just was thinking about this in the shower, and these words came, and I just wanted to get people to stand up in their seats if they relate to these two words, and if you do, you go, something will happen, you'll know, and there's one or two of you that I know pretty well that I'm going to call out your names in it all, because I feel like this is the day. So the word, this is the shortest prophetic word I've ever given in my life. Carpe diem. Tell me. Seize the day. Now, that to me is for some of you right now. We're speaking into the now. Is it for you? If you feel it is it asseyez-vous? What does that mean? I've got it. Standez-vous. Is that right? Is that right, Headmaster Mike? Is that right? Yeah, I know that's not word of knowledge. I knew that. Or X. Or what's stand up then? Oh, leve. Leve. Oh no. Yeah. Oh, look at you lot. Seize the day. Seize the day. Now, what you've done, you've witnessed something in your spirit. Now, there is a responsibility if you wish to stand, because we can give these words, but if they come into you, as I believe they are, it's the now word. It's the Mary said, be it unto me according to your Greek rhema. And I think we speak logos, the word. It's made flesh. It's being made flesh in you. You receive it as the now word, which is rhema. Do you hear that? You receive it as life. Do you know what it'll do? It'll make you pregnant. Hey! Just remembered something. Because it's an inseminate. Now, hang in there, you older ones. It's an it inseminates. The word becomes flesh. And that's it. He dwells. So I say in the name of Jesus, violent men and women take the kingdom by violence. Forceful men. So I believe some of you are going to have to push doors. I tell you what you're going to do. Having done all, yes, you're going to draw a line and you've enemy, we've had enough. Chris Hart, we've had enough. We're going to draw the line and say, this is it. No, I'm going to cry. No more. No more. No more. No more. No more. No more. You with me? No more. We're going to stand. No more. Why should that? It's a wrestling match, and you're in a circle, and the enemy's trying to push you out of the circle. You're saying, I'm standing. No more. No more. No more. No more. Keith, carpe diem. Keith, seize the day. There he is. Alison, you can do all that if you like. Seize the day. Seize the day. You bunch. You're really sweet. Seize the day. Amen. Brothers. Amen. I can do this to men. Seize the day. Seize the day. I'm not getting near you. Seize the day. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. That's it. Asseyez-vous, s'il vous plaît. Oh, enchanté. So a few years back, I'm in Normandy, Calvados, where the brandy. Oh, sorry, I said brandy. Yeah, and I'm speaking in this tent in this sloping field, and the cows had been in there before it, just after it had rained, and it was full of. What hoof holes, you know? I mean, it was such a disaster. It was so funny. And I was being interpreted French. And I started singing, La Mer. Do you know what they did? The whole lot started to sing it. The whole song. I just fell over, didn't you? It was so embarrassing, but brilliant. Anyway, there we go. Why did I say that? I don't know. Ephesians 3:10. What was the word?
Hey.
No, not that word. I've lost Ephesians. Carpe diem. Remember it. Write it down. Do something. Put it, when you wake up, put it on your ceiling in your bedroom, all right? Look up. There it is. I do know them. There's something about this verse. How long have I got? I haven't started. Flipping it. What? Somebody, without losing the context that I'm in, somebody time me 20 minutes. Would you do that? Because there's no clock here, is there? It's been rebuked. I took it away and threw it out last night. This is a conundrum, this scripture. It's a puzzle. It's a poser, a challenge and a mystery. Shall I read it? Oh, you've blooming got it up there. I didn't know that. This is New King James. I'm just putting a little bit more in. To the intent, does it start there? Yes. To the intent that now means all ages, from there to now, the manifold, which is the various form, manifold is multicolored, like Joseph's coat. So you've got this multicolored wisdom of God might be made known or displayed by or through the church. The church, in this case, is the fullness of God. Hello, fullness of God. Well, why can't we start there? It's Obadiah 17, really, isn't it? Possess your possessions. It's what it is. Through the church, the fullness of God, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what it's saying is that the role of the church is to display the wisdom of God in its manifold variable form to the powers. So in this context here, there are powers watching us. I'll show you some scriptures in a minute, within the 18 minutes left. The church, the role of the church is to display, is to show, is to release, is to demonstrate, is to proclaim, is to communicate, in brackets. I can't see in the scripture pulling the powers down, but I can see dispossessing because they already have at the cross. So let's not get into it. It's what we have as church. There's an invisible audience watching us. There's an invisible audience watching us. And I believe the role of the church in this context is to live our lives 24/7. I mean, it's nice in here. We could exist for eternity in this atmosphere. Although, give it a couple of days and you won't like me, because my OCD would begin to manifest, wouldn't it? Just only a smidge, and you'll be miserable and irritable, and we'll all be... That's not so, is it? But we have been called, and everything that's happened today, to me there's a bit of a breakthrough earlier. There's a sense of unifying. Maybe I was going to say unity. Are we there? There's something going on that this invisible audience is watching. And many of them are in opposition to God. They do not like it. But they don't know the experience of redemption. They want to know. Did you know that was there in that context? It's rather interesting. But here's the thing that grips me. Just go back a couple of verses. Ephesians 3. 4 to 9. Can we get that up there or somewhere? By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, but it has now been revealed by the Scripture to God's holy apostles and prophets. So there's a group of men and women. Yeah? That something has been revealed to, that group of men and women, I'd like to include us all, that group of men and women can inspire, teach, mentor, stir, move the church. Because the church often needs people like that to move them, envision them, empower them in Jesus. So that this group, the apostolic and the prophetic, now we're sort of, there's a mix and an overlap and all that, but you're with me. That this group actually is the key to release the church to declare to the powers the manifold wisdom of God. Isn't that interesting? It's really gripped me. It really has. I don't know what to do with it. I feel like I'm eating something. You remember he said it tasted sweet. Did it get bitter deep inside? Yeah. It's, in other words, it's dealing with me somewhere in here. I don't know how, what, or why. But I feel like God is going to raise up a people that will lead the church, that will move the church to a place where there's a unity that we've never known. Once there was one church. 3,000 one day, 5,000 a few days later, they were Jewish. And then, you see, God's secret mystery, it's all in three, in that Ephesians 3, was that this message was to be given not just to the Jewish people, but to the nations. Is that right? And it talks about in Ephesians 3 a unity, which is fantastic. The mystery of the Gentiles, one body with the Jews, participating and inheriting the promises of God formerly made known to Israel are now made known to both. But here's what happened. The Jewish people back there, Acts 10 and all of that. Remember when Cornelius sent the servants to Peter and all of that? The Jewish people wanted to keep the message of salvation to themselves. But God had other plans. Now hold on, I'm not talking about replacement. I'm talking about restoration. It's really important you hear this. And so there was a bit of a hoo-ha. And then I think by AD 70, when Titus the general, who became emperor, destroyed the whole of Jerusalem, including the temple, suddenly there was a bereavement with the Jewish nations. And over that period of time, more Gentiles became the church to the point where the Jews were marginalized. This is my precy. And what you have now, or certainly not long from that time, maybe AD 100, AD 200, was that the Gentiles began to blame the Jews for killing Christ. And anti-Semitism came in. And you know, if you read the news, please read the news, the papers, or I don't know which demonic paper you read, but learn to discern. The daily...
Who am I? I'm not female, I'm a...
Correct. Man, not the daily man, is it? It's a daily... Oh, no, whatever. Yeah, I'm sorry. But learn to discern. But what's happening is there's a surge of anti-Semitism in Europe right now. And it's not going. It's continuing. But I do believe that God's purpose and plan was to raise up a people holy and free that together... The Jew and the Gentile, which to me could be the two witnesses or the two sticks of Ezekiel. You better look that up, please. Where there could have been such a unity in those early years that would have just swept around the world. But division came, and I get the feeling that disunity, which was a feature of heaven, was dealt with, but it's never been dealt with on earth yet, other than through the cross and us taking ground. To bring unity, I think Satan's conspiracy was to destroy the Jewish nation, undermine the plan of God, divide the Gentile church, undermine the plan of God, undermine the role of the apostolic and the prophetic by extremes. For on the one hand, apostles and prophets aren't needed because it's all been finished with. But on the other side, they dominate, control, and manipulate, and they're the only ones with the only authority for God. Both sides are wrong, with the greatest of respect. And I see in the last 20, 30, 40 years, a real resurgence of the apostolic and prophetic. Hopefully, mostly in right order. It's around. There's one there. Call Emma what you like. I know what she is in my heart. She's a mixture of those giftings. And what I'm looking for are women and men, not just to have a gift of something, but to become the gift in their own right. He gave gifts, he gave people, as apostles, prophets, pastors, and all the rest of it. But the enemy's plan was to divide and destroy. It's intriguing to me that the one church right back there, today, 40,000 fragments. Some say with I think legitimacy, there are 40,000 denominations. As one Catholic church still, by the way. Which is interesting. Intriguing Pope, isn't he? Yeah. God, do something with him. He's just chucked out all the financiers from the Vatican. Isn't that good? Because there was fraud. He chucked the lot out. I mean, he goes on the bus. What's it all about? But I like a Pope on the bus, wouldn't you, rather than in some blinking Mercedes or something. I just think it's fantastic. I used to give out T.L. Osborne Salvation Tracts in the Catholic churches in Bristol. I used to sneak in, put one in every book in their libraries. I got caught and chucked out many times. But I think that was very low budget, to be really honest. I'm sorry. Because I've met Catholic people that speak in tongues, that love Jesus, that have got Mary in the right place. I mean, there's all... Of course, the charismatic movement has got no idolatrous claptrap at all, has it? No. No ratatouilles or taramasalatas or anything. What happened in the church when it was born? I keep reading in Acts, the end of Luke, they move with one accord, all together in one place. One. And my heart cry is unity, union, one, because the next line in Acts 2 is suddenly. He saw something. Where there is unity, God can't help but, Psalm 133, command the blessing. I'm desperate for that. I am. Where our heads catch on fire and the wind makes our beards go up in the air. No, men, you didn't get that, did you? If you did, I'm sorry. Where they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking bread in prayer, house to house, fear came on them, signs and wonders. Do you know what I see here? I see justice in society, and I see signs and wonders. I see it together, because they shared everything. You know, the communists say, I'll put a new coat on you and you'll be all right. But Christianity starts with the heart and works outwards so that we can give and give and give. Something in that, isn't there? Didn't say that very well, but I'm sure you got the meaning. So they continued. They sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all, as anyone that had need. They continued daily in the temple. Social justice, financial issues were being dealt with. And right in the middle of it all, this guy who'd been ill, crippled really, 38 years. Do you think Jesus walked by him a few times? He said, I'll leave him to the boys. There was a right time. Next minute, he's gone mad. He's running around in the temple. How many came to Christ? 5,000. Flipping heck. Do you see the way harmony comes? And God has called us to touch a broken world. Do you know why? Because we're not going to be whipped out the way and have a party wherever heaven is. Well, this world burns to bits. We're actually coming back here into a redeemed new world, aren't we? Say something, do something. It's great. You know, forget pollution then. But I want to do my bit now, don't you? I really, really do. Now, in all of that, there's something that happened. The church was born in and around the temple. Do you know what I believe? The church became the temple. So what I'm seeing is a group of people led by the apostles and prophets, inspired to move in the power of God to touch society with signs and wonders, and to meet the needs of the poor and the hungry and the weak. I see that church inspired and led by the apostles and prophets, displaying the wisdom of God to the powers. And as that happened, people came into the kingdom. They say within 20 years, half of Jerusalem, the population was, some say, over 200,000. Half were saved. That's 100,000. Imagine that. 100,000 people saved. How many? What's the largest city? Preston. How many people in Preston? 200,000? Oh, I bet there were. 100,000. Maybe half of Preston come to Christ. Isn't that something else? And I think it's marvelous, really, because what was the key was that resurrection of Christ brought dramatic transformation with the beginning of God's new creation, releasing a new community of believers. I think a lot of these powers, including the enemy himself, were totally shocked because they must have had a party wherever hell is when Jesus died. But who thought he'd raise from the dead? Well, he went down and took the keys, didn't he? That was a shock. That finished that party quick. Ha, ha, ha. I think that made them look. That made them wonder, what the heck's going on? It's so amazing. And the temple, whose calling was to meet the needs of the people and bring the salvation of God and see the healing and the ministry and all that sort of thing and help the poor and whatever, I believe that vision faded away into corruption and greed. And he... those words are interesting these days. And what happened was, when the day of Pentecost came, and I can't prove it, but I always think the upper room is somewhere in the temple precinct, suddenly a new temple was born in the midst of the old. But this temple is one not built by living hands, but by the Spirit of God. You are living stones, built into a holy house, says Peter. Hello, living stones, particularly if your name is David. Did you get that? It's really bad, isn't it? David, take that 10 seconds off. And it became a dangerous and radical doctrine. You see, what resurrection did and the transformed lives was undermined everything in the lawyers and the Pharisees and the chief priests' beliefs and cultures. It threatened their power structure to the point where the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. But the church moved on. Hallelujah. So the temple became the focal point. Do you know what happened at the temple? Heaven and earth met. Do you know what I believe? It's like we're part of that temple today, and heaven and earth is meeting today. Oh, doesn't it thrill you? Lord, wake them up in the night with angelic touch. That'll sort them out, and me. Oh, a new temple was being built. And where was the temple? Well, it's Jesus. He's the place where God was building. Is this radical or not? You know, flipping heck. And the Jews wanted to keep the Gentiles out of the temple and all the other aliens and that. But God did away with that. But you know where we are? We're not in that great unity at the moment. And I believe it's up to us, church, inspired by the apostles and prophets and prophetic community, is to get on with it, stir our churches to move in passion of Christ. Because in that passion, we're going to come into a place of unity that we've never known before. And God will not be able to help throw out buckets of blessing, Niagara's and Victoria Falls of blessing upon us all. I tell you, light shines bright at its brightest when dark is at its darkest. Do you want to really hear that? Because we're on a slope. We are. Very, very important. So the old temple was the focal point, but the apostles and prophets began to manifest what the temple was made for. The presence of God, justice, signs and wonders, salvation. And it began to replace. And Jesus is the place that where God is building. He is the dwelling place. He's the habitation. It's in him. It's like this movable temple, isn't it? You know, wherever we go, we're part of that. And that stirs me up. That'll do. That'll do. Oh, baloney. Oh, that's what I want to say. That and this. Now then, here's two examples, very quickly. We all right for time? Good. What I like, I walk into this place last night, and I see that little display
notice
thing out there. It's all about hope for justice. Have you seen that? If you haven't, have a good look. Take some. Because do you know what's happening? They're declaring something to the powers. Is this Andrew Mutch and others? They're declaring, this is the church here at Ormskirk. Sam. Brilliant. What's your name? Horse? He's got a t-shirt on with the word horse. Oh, there's a bit more. Horse around. Oh, dear. All right. Yeah. There's something about demonstrating the love and the power of God with regard to hope for justice. Anti-human trafficking organization working to uncover and abolish the hidden crime of modern day slavery. What? In biddy, slightly middle class Ormskirk? Blooming yes. I encourage you. Inspire. Go on. Break through. Be bold. Be scandalous. Be outrageous. Bash doors down. Get into high places. Because I think they've got something. What are we doing? Now, listen to this. Listen to this. Oh, it's so brilliant. I wish I could have thought it up, but God is so better, isn't he? The Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles in 1906 is commonly regarded as the beginning of the modern Pentecostal movement, right? The growth of Pentecostalism in the last century has been phenomenal. There are millions and millions. I would say without doubt we are all affected by that move of God. Absolutely. I just love it. It's amazing. It really is. If you've not read anything about it, well, I'll give you some little tidbits here. This is in an old sort of warehousey shack, which is now a car park. It's all demolished. 1906. Meetings began at 10 o'clock every morning and continued to near midnight. There are three altar services daily. The altar is a plank on two chairs in the center of the room. And here the Holy Ghost falls on men and women and children in old-fashioned Pentecostal experience as soon as they have had a clear experience of heart purity. Suddenly, the Spirit would fall on the congregation. God himself would give an altar call. I'd like to sort of see that, wouldn't you? Men would fall all over the house like slain in battle, or rush for the altar en masse to seek God. The scene often resembled a forest of fallen trees. I sort of saw a bit of that near Belfast last weekend. It was really amazing. Some claim to have seen the Shekinah glory by night over the building. You've got an old wooden warehousey structure. Reminds me of somewhere in Bethlehem, actually. Divine love was wonderfully manifest in the meeting. They would not even allow an unkind word said against their opposers of the church or the churches. The message was the love of God. It was a sort of first love that returned. Scores of people were seen dropping into a prostrate position in the street before they even reached the mission. They'd fall in the street, fall in the road. And as they got up, they spoke in tongues. The revival in Azusa Street was unique in many ways, but the overriding issue is centered on racism and its leader, William Seymour, a black man. William Seymour had one eye. Is the irony lost? William Seymour. You've got it now, haven't you? He was a one-eyed black Pentecostal preacher. His pulpit was a shoebox, a big wooden shoebox. He put his head in there, and he had egalitarian vision. I mean, he welcomed. The person that I know well that is like this is John Arnott, actually, Toronto. He welcomed black, white, pink, blue, whoever. He welcomed the whole lot, brought them all in. And to see, this is 1906, to see black men lay on the floor by white women was incredible. It was a major, look at him smiling, it was a you weren't there, were you? No. It was such a major breakthrough. Things happened that were totally dramatic. And his leadership highlighted this egalitarian desire to draw in mixed-race people into positions of responsibility. So his eldership, he had 12 elders, right? 3 black, 9 whites, 5 men, 7 women. That's not a bad eldership, Chris Hyam, is it? Ha ha! No. Sorry, that was personal. Well, not too personal, but never mind. And what he did was colossal. Was colossal. And one of the writers, Bartleman, said the color line is broken. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Because the powers were there, watching. And the racism in the States at that time was dramatically bad. I can't put words into my mouth. Do you know what happened? Finally, the whole thing faded away, partly because the Pentecostal churches would not accept that standard of black and white together. 80 years later, hear me, 80 years later, the Pentecostal churches in the States repented. It was around the late 1980s. It's true. They lost 80 years. Now, whatever the situation is, remember Galatians 3:29. It's amazing. The powers were in opposition and got into the government. What you see is a prophetic and apostolic company inspiring the church in the move of the Spirit, coming in a unity that I have never seen. I want to see it. I don't just mean black and white. I mean denominational, where our common denominator is the cross. And they're going to have to respond to dear Deborah and her quietness, or my ratatouilles and tarama salata. There's a place for us all. Why? Because somehow in our unity, inspired by the apostolic and prophetic, that's why there's going to be a resurgence again of humble men and women moving in the power of God to inspire the church to go for it. That's why when that happens, look out, world. I don't see any other answer. And it's all in the new temple. Who's the cornerstone and who's the foundations? It's our Jesus. I thoroughly believe that. The other illustration, am I doing all right? Have I lost the 20 minutes? You're not telling me. Is it gone? Oh, you didn't tell me. So I'll start again. That's the... I'm nearly there. The issue was Ephesus, the town itself. It was the greatest metropolis in Asia. It was the gateway of Asia. If Ephesus had the greatest harbor, the wealthiest city in Asia, trade, art, science, a free city, exempt from Romans. It goes on and on, probably 250,000 people there. It was the center of the worship of Artemis. Another name for her? Diana. Yeah. The leading divinity. The influence of the city on the rest of Asia Minor cannot be underestimated. Someone said there can be few places which prove the conquering power of Christianity. Yet Ephesus was the hotbed for every kind of cult, superstition, and anything dark, art, etc. It was the custodian of the image of the goddess of Diana. Her temple was the source of the religious shrine, but it had immense civic pride, bank, financial center, artwork, amount of property. The temple was the center of the economic growth of that city, the temple. So what you had was a principality in power in the temple and around the temple. You've got to go beyond dimensions here. Go in the spirit. Those gods, small g, those powers controlled the whole area, right? There it is. Colossal powers. Colossal powers. The temple undergirded the city and region's economy. And yet into this, God began to move through the apostle after a bit of time in extraordinary miracles. It says here, God performed extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. I'm one of those, probably like you. I wouldn't mind a few ordinary miracles, you know, let alone extra. But and even handkerchiefs and scarves and the like that had touched Paul's skin. Do you want mine? Touch Paul's skin. And they did miracles. Demons came out. It's just a supernatural thing. Exorcism was a regular trade. And there were some sons of Siva. Remember, they tried to cast out a demon and the whole thing went down the drain and the guy beat them all up. And it says the fear of God fell on the city. Now, we need supernatural interruption. But we also need, you prophetic company, out of you there are prophets. We need to take our place, our responsibility, and our role in what we do to bring this inspiration so that the church knows and understands that we declare the wisdom of God to the powers. And I think that was happening. And the fear of God fell on them. And what they did, they all freaked out, they came to confess, they believed those who were sorcerers and magicians and all that sort of thing, incantations. They took all their books and burnt the lot. A drachma was a day's wage. I don't know what a day's wage is here, but there was 50,000 day's wages. That's a lot of dosh, isn't it? And I love the title over Acts 19 in my Bible. It says, where's Acts gone? Oh, here it is. It says a riot in Ephesus. I think that's pretty good, don't you? Because what happened was that there was a disturbance. They called it the Way. Jesus, I am the Way. And a silversmith named Demetrius brought in much business. And he called these people together and he said, this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people in Ephesus. And there's a danger that not only will lose trade, but that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia, will be robbed of her divine majesty. What the move of God did was rob that principality of its divine majesty. It had no ability to express something to drag the people to worship it. So the power of God was released, and that principality lost its power. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you look at Daniel somewhere and what Paul said, I've got something here, what Daniel didn't say and what Paul didn't say. You know, Paul didn't give them instructions to bind the power and pull it down. What Paul did was preach the gospel, and the power of God came, and it was through the power of God that this power, this principality, lost its divine majesty. Do you see that? Our role is to declare, now I'm going to finish. Let me just read this one final point, if I can. It's somewhere in my 17 pages, actually. Oh, here it is. I've turned straight to it. Well, bust my boots. Where's 1 Peter gone? 1 Peter 1:2. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things have now been announced, which have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel. He's talking about preaching the gospel of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. These things angels long to look into. Ever come across that? All right then. The word long to look is to bend or stoop over and look down into. It's like when Mary looked into the tomb. Was it Mary? She looked into the tomb of Jesus. She went right in. And the inference here, as the angels are longing to know, wherever their dimension is, they're looking over and looking down. In other words, they're watching what you and I do every day. Does that bless you or not? Do not answer. Isn't it? They're looking. Flip me, we all said. They're looking, they're observing with great interest the unfolding of God's great plan of salvation. And it's this lot that we just declare the wisdom of God to. And it's like a drama. If you've read John Stott in the Ephesians, remember him? He's with the Lord now. But they talk about this invisible audience in a drama situation. History is a theater. The world is the stage. Church people like you and me in every land, we're the actors. God himself has written it and he directs it and produces it. I'm quoting here. Act by act, scene by scene, the story continues to unfold. But who's the audience? It's the powers, the principalities and powers. And they watch. And some of them are opposed. They don't like it. But the more I know this and the more it's being revealed, the more I'm going to inspire people to move in justice, to move in the power of God. Why not just mix it all up and do the lot? That's about it, really. That'll do. What's the mystery? It's the manifold wisdom of God. Angels long to look into. Hallelujah. Have you sort of caught what I'm trying to say? It's very... some of you might need to look into this because I think there's something here for the church. But if there's 40,000 fragments of denominational groupings, one has a little work to do, doesn't one? In fact, one can't do it without the help of the Lord, to be honest. But somehow gathering them all into Christ through the cross. So what am I after? I'm after restoration of the Jews that have been under anti-Semitism. I'm after the... Do you know where the second largest group of Jews is in this nation? Gateshead. There's one in Manchester too, isn't there? Gateshead, there's thousands of them. Did you know that? Maybe it's the third. I don't know, Manchester, London, one of those. What are we going to do? Don't concoct something. But I'll tell you what's happening to lots of Muslims. They're meeting Jesus, literally. Seeing angels, they're coming to Christ. God, do it with the Jewish people. So that somehow the two sticks, the Jews and the Gentiles, bound together. Do you see? What's the time? We can declare the manifold wisdom of God. That's what I wanted to say. What are you going to do with it? Have a think about it. Because I believe the more we do this, the more these powers are going to lose their divine majesty. Do you see? Thank you.